I have good news for Becky. I have good news for the sound techs. The Lord changed my message about 15, 20 minutes ago. And I'm as scared as you are. I'm not as prepared for what the Lord has laid on my heart as I was for what Daryl laid on his heart. But you know what? That's okay. I am teaching on learning to listen to the voice of the Spirit. And if we will not even do it ourselves, we have no business teaching on that. So, Sister Becky, you're going to have to wing it today. I know you can. I'll try to speak not like Carissa, but in slow motion so that you won't miss it and our viewers won't miss it. And the sound guys, I'll try to give you plenty of time to find the scripture. Let me see. I'll just give you the first one that I'm going to start with. Are you listening, Blake? Here we go. John 16, 12 through 15. I have no idea. Just pick any version you want. It doesn't matter to me. But we've been speaking. I spoke three parts on the Holy Spirit. Darlene spoke on the Holy Spirit last week on called and anointed. How many know she did a great job last Sunday morning? And I was going to go another route today. But I don't feel like it's time just yet to stop the Holy Spirit series. Now, this may be the last one, but I'm not going to say, you know, this is the last one, because you can go for weeks on teaching on the Holy Spirit and never repeat yourself, never bore anybody, because there's just so much about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How many knows you can never exhaust the subject of God? You could never exhaust the subject of Jesus Christ. And you'll never exhaust the subject of the Holy Spirit. After all, the Holy Spirit is the one that is dwelling inside of us, living on earth today, leading us and guiding us and showing us what the Father wants and showing us what Jesus wants. For example, you come in and you think you're going to preach one thing and the Holy Spirit says, I think you better do this here. Now, how many knows I could rebel and go against that and still preach a good word? But a good word is not a right now word. And I'd rather have a right now word anytime as just a good word. And I hope that, it's not going to offend anybody. So my burning desire as the pastor of this church for almost 5 decades, that just blows my mind when I think about that. I was such a squirt when I came. I was a know-it-all when I came here. 26 years old, Brother Tracy. 26. I mean, it's been a few years since you've seen 26. But think about that. 26 years ago. When I was age 26, everybody knew everything, didn't they? We knew it all. Nobody could tell us anything. Your parents would say, now, don't go out and go in debt for a new car. Just get what you could afford. You know what we could afford? We didn't look at the total amount. We looked at the monthly payment. Yeah, we'd look at a new car. I had a brand new car the year after I graduated from high school. I graduated in 67. In 1968, I had a 68 Javelin. It was made by American Motors. But it was a Javelin, and you know, we didn't look at the total overall price that we was going to be in debt for the next 5 years. All we looked is, I can make that $199 a month payment. Now, I just told you that was a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it's our desire that we be taught about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know it all. I can read, I can study, I can go through commentaries and read from theologians, but there's just so much there that we can only take it in just little bites and baby steps. And so that's what we're trying to do. And so it's my desire that you experience the presence of God. There's a whole lot more to coming to church than singing for 30 or 40 minutes. Hearing a testimony or two or a prayer request or two and hearing some dead, dry sermon and going back home and thinking, well, I did my religious duty. I went to church for 2 hours. There's a whole lot more to church than that. I don't want anybody to come to church and not witness the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which comes through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we need the teaching of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We'll never exhaust the subject. We'll never run out of material. I do know that series that get longer and longer and longer can be a little frustrating sometimes with those sitting out there, because sometimes you want to maybe hear about something else. But this may be the last. It may not be the last, but I have more. I have much more on the Holy Spirit. But I want to go back and talk a little bit about, you know, the Holy Spirit. I hear people say all the time, and I know you've heard the very same thing, what we need at this church is more of Jesus. We need more Jesus in this church. If we just had more of Jesus. And I agree with your opinion on that. But you got to remember, the Holy Spirit, he's not a commodity. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the person of the Holy Spirit will bring the presence of God in a service when we have communicated and fellowshipped and been on good terms with him. He is a person. Jesus was a person. Jesus is now in a glorified body. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a spirit living inside of us, joined to, how many knows we are, please help me God not to get on pig trails. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. That means I'm a three-part being. Just like Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I am a spirit. I have a soul, but I live in a body. When I die, this body's going in the grave, but my spirit is going to be with the Lord. Amen. And who knows where the soul goes? I don't know quite yet where the soul's going to go. But I do know that one of these days, those bodies are going to rise out of the grave, and we're going to be joined with our spirit in heaven, and we're going to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to enjoy the presence of God for a while, and then we're going to come back to a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, Jesus, help me to stay on track here. How am I doing, sister? Okay. So we have to learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you would say that you grew up in a Holy Spirit filled Pentecostal, full gospel, charismatic? You grew up in that kind of a church. Hold your hand up real high. Let me see. Well, wow, it's a lot more than I thought. A lot more than I thought. Okay, how many of you were raised in more of a liturgical, organized denomination type of church where it was a strictly just Bible teaching, line upon line, and just Bible teaching? Let me see your hand. Hold it up real high. Lethargic, not liturgic, lethargic. No, I didn't say that.
I was in that church.
He's probably the pastor of that church, huh? I grew up in a spirit-filled church. Luke Hale grew up in a spirit-filled church. When they weren't attending here, before they were here, they were going to Rick Shelton's at Life Christian Center in St. Louis. And that's all they knew was Pentecostal church. My uncle Gary was raised Assembly of God all of his life. When I went to church with him and Grandma, we went to the Assembly of God church. I don't know where some of you others were raised at. I know Tiffany, that's all she knows. That's all Krista knows is Pentecost. And but some of you that are sitting here today that weren't raised in that atmosphere or that teaching, when we get to talking about it, you kind of get a little bit spooky, or maybe wondering if this is for us today. And there's actually two different audiences. There's those people that when you say the word Holy Spirit, they get nervous. Where is he going today? There's one down there. Lord, get her. Lord, get her today. Today's her day. You know, and they get a little bit nervous because the other audience are the goofballs. They're the ones that were raised in the spirit-filled churches. They're the ones that were goofy. I mean, Sometimes in our Pentecostal upbringing, and I don't know, Sister Fatchett, if you were like this or not, but I have a feeling you probably were. You was probably raised in the wildfire too, right? Yes, okay. And so whenever you say Holy Spirit to those that weren't, like Steve and Lori, they get a little nervous.
I don't get nervous.
You don't get nervous anymore?
I'm with you, buddy.
Okay. Well, she does. And so, but there's those people that Pentecostalism has given a, and you talk about the Holy Spirit, that there's kind of a craziness that goes along with that. And you can say amen, because there's been some real extreme Pentecostalism, right, Krissa?
Yeah.
And there's been some misconceptions about the topic of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I did see legit moves of God. I also saw crazy moves of God. You've been to that church, right?
Yep.
You've been to the church where you see the guy running around the church and you're thinking, how many times is he going to run around the church? He should be tired by now. We used to have a guy that run around the church every service on one particular song. There's been many times I stuck my foot out and tried to trip him when he went by. But he saw my foot and he jumped over it or went around it. But listen, there's people that used to, you know, they'd run in church. I ran in church. You think, dear God, don't you ever get tired. But I remember one time Darlene and I were at a conference. It was a big conference. It was a big church. There was a lot of people there, and it was a huge church. And the spirit of run, Brother Steve, came upon me. And so I took off running. I had my hands up. Did you ever do this, Sister Fatchett? You didn't raise your hands and close your eyes when you run? Well, I did. I had my hands up, and I would open my eyes long enough to go down that long, long aisle there. And then I'd just close my eyes and run. Then I'd open my eyes, and I'd see that's a clear one. I'd run down that one. This is a big church. Now, listen, I was a big boy. It wasn't yesterday, but it wasn't that long ago. And so I opened my eyes, and I got halfway down the third aisle, or coming up the third aisle, and I had my eyes closed, and I didn't realize the guy that was running in front of me stopped. You remember? I hit the ground. He hit the ground. I was out of breath, and the spirit of run left me. And I walked back to my seat. Out of breath. Got about 3/4 the way around. And he stopped and I didn't stop. And we both ended up going back to our seats. Well, there's been some crazy things happen in Pentecostal circles. And that's what causes some people to feel like, you know, it's extremism, or it's not for us today, or it was only for old-time Pentecostal people. But the Holy Spirit is alive. He's well. He wants to move in your life. He doesn't want to do the crazies, right? He's not crazy. He wants to be a part of your life. And so let's read from John chapter 16 this morning. We're going to read verses 12 through 15. John 16, 12 through 15. And I love the words of Jesus, and it sounded like what he said to Martha, Darlene, in that version of that episode of the Chosen that we saw the other night. He says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can hear now." Couldn't bear it, all right. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, when I leave, and the Father, and I send the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak or brag about himself. He will only speak what he hears and will tell you, he'll only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, because he is from me, that it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to us." Now I may have read that to make it sound confusing, but what he's saying is the Holy Spirit's not going to say anything I haven't said. When he hears me speak, I'll speak. You know, that'd be a good lesson for some of us to learn once in a while. only speak when God tells us to speak. Amen? Now, he says, all that the Father has, all that belongs to the Father is mine, and that's why I said the Spirit will receive from me, and he will make it known to you. So understand, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Father and testify of Jesus. There should be no reason to be afraid or nervous about the person of the Holy Spirit when you understand his ministry is to just tell you what Jesus, you'd like to know what Jesus said, wouldn't we? We'd all want to know what Jesus said. And so he yearns for that fellowship. He yearns for that communion. He yearns for us to be close to him so that he can reveal Jesus to us in a way that we'll never find out. We can't walk with Jesus like the disciples did. And the disciples at that time had a very limited knowledge of Jesus. They believed until he was crucified. Then they didn't believe. Then they believed after he rose from the dead. And then they didn't believe. They were wishy-washy. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, they stopped being wishy-washy. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit desires to reveal Jesus, what Jesus is saying. And you can't go wrong if you listen to the Spirit of God. I was not arguing with the Spirit of God a while ago. I was just, you know, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Because I want to do what's right. I want to present what you would have me to do today. And I would much rather say what Jesus wants me to say than to say what Daryl had planned and prepared all week to say. It makes me feel like I wasted a whole week. But no, we'll come back next week and visit this. Maybe, yeah, you're right. So if we want more of Jesus in our life, then we need to we must have closer communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have to fellowship with the dude, and I say that respectfully, that lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, lives inside of us. And he wants to communicate with us. But the manifestation of his presence will never be found where he is not honored, where he is not welcomed, and when he's not given a place. I guarantee you, if Jesus himself were to walk through that back door, who's that back there? Is that John? John, if Jesus was to walk through there and looks like he does, maybe like on The Chosen, you know, with the robe, sandals, and long hair and beard, and walk through there and you say, I know that's Jesus, John would jump up and say, Church, Jesus is here. What would we do? We would honor him. After we got past the skepticism, after we got past the unbelief, we would stand, we would honor, we would welcome, and you know what else we would do? We would listen. Now, Jesus is in heaven, so he can't be here. But he sent the Holy Spirit that dwells in every believer. Do you know you cannot get born again without the Holy Spirit? And so when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Amen. And so that's what I want to try to get over to us again today and a day and a day. The Holy Spirit will never push himself. Jesus would not walk through these doors if he wasn't welcome. But I tell you what. You welcome him, and he will show up. The Holy Spirit sometimes feels like he's pushed to the back prayer room because he embarrasses people when he manifests. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit shows up, people do strange things. But it's not that it's to be distracting. It's not to be that it's to take away from. Sometimes we just need to yield to the Holy Spirit in obedience. It may be the Holy Spirit nudging you to get up out of your seat and come down here to the altar and pray while I'm preaching. It may be that when Chris is singing her song, that you feel in a nudge, just, I need to go up front and just stand there and lift my hands and pray and worship the Lord. That's the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, if I'm talking to somebody and I give them the little nudge or they're asking me for help, they're asking me for direction, and I share with them a little bit of knowledge that I have and they don't do it, you know, that would kind of grieve me. Why do you come and ask if you're not going to listen? Now, I know I'm rehashing a lot of stuff this morning, but I want us to get it up because I want us to enjoy the presence of the Lord every time we come to church. Yay, even on a Wednesday night. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, he showeth up on Wednesday nights. But he's a gentleman, so he will never intrude. He will never show up where he's not welcome. You got it? So if we refuse to engage with him, guess what? He's going to be silent. Some people say, oh, I need more Jesus. Jesus, talk to me. Jesus, I need a word. Jesus, talk to me. And the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. He's living in one compartment of your heart, and you're not even welcoming him to the dinner table when it's time to eat. Okay, I say that metaphorically, okay? So he lives in us. He needs to be made to feel welcome because he's a gentleman. He will never impose himself on us. Do you know the Bible says in James 4 and 8, that's okay, I'll just quote it. You don't have to throw it up there. Everybody knows it. How's it go? You better throw it up there. Draw near to me. Draw near to me. God says, you draw near to me. And then what's next? Can y'all read? What's it say? Then I... do we have the right scripture up there? Okay. I can't read that. Come close to God and God will come close to you. What version is that?
This is not New King James.
Okay. Draw near to me and I will draw near unto you. It sounds to me like we have to take the first step. We have to show the hunger.
Yeah.
Some people are waiting for the Spirit of God to just fall on them.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Lord, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Here I am. But we need to understand it's not just going to happen like that. We need to have fellowship with the Spirit of God.
Right.
Is this okay today? Now, I know a lot of it is repeat. I know a lot of it, some of this may be new to you. But according to this verse of Scripture, we're the one that's responsible, Steve, to take the first step. He's waiting on us. You're waiting on him. And he's already told you, you come to me first. And as you can, and I've always heard it said, I don't know how true it is, but I always heard you take one step towards Jesus and he'll take two towards you. I don't know, but I know one thing, we're going to meet somewhere in the middle. He's not going to leave you stranded. When you draw near to God, that means communicate, fellowship, talk, have a relationship. So all I'm trying to get across is, folks, listen, there's a person living on the inside of you that would like to have some fellowship.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen?
We have to intentionally enter into communion with him. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I'm not sure what you have planned for me today, but I'm all ears. I ask you to order my steps. Right? Guide me. That's what the Holy Spirit... It's okay. If the Holy Spirit has been sent to guide, it's okay to say, guide me today. Order my steps. Speak to me today. Let me be a blessing to somebody. Show me somebody that needs prayer. And I told you this maybe a couple of weeks ago, but you're in a restaurant and you see somebody that looks like they could use some prayer, and all of a sudden you feel like, man, I'd like to go pray for them. But you won't do it because of fear or how stupid you look. But listen, do you know that's not the devil telling you to go pray for them?
Right.
I guarantee it's not your mind. It's the Spirit of God dealing with us. So how does he feel when he says, Luke, when you go pay your bill, pay the person's bill right there standing behind you. And you know, some people say, I rebuke you, Satan. That's not of God. I'm going to pay my own bills. I ain't paying somebody else's bill. But if the Lord spoke to you to do that, and you did it, God will bless the obedient. But now listen, if you don't do it, you grieve the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, is it the devil or is it the Lord? Is it just my mind? No, because your mind don't think like that. Your mind don't think pay everybody's bill. Your mind thinks I'm scraping to pay my own bill, right? So if the Holy Spirit prompts us, why don't we instantly obey that voice. Somebody say it's good teaching today. So as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Well, why isn't God speaking to me? God just never talks to me. Pastor talks about the Lord spoke to him to change a sermon. The Lord spoke to him to sing that song this morning. Well, maybe he didn't. But anyway, the Lord spoke to da 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 da. People say I hear, but he never speaks to me. He's a talking God. And he's not going to talk to you in tongues. He's going to talk to you so you can understand him. Am I messing this up today? Dr. Sue, could you do better than this, maybe? You could too. You could get up here and just take right over. I'm encouraging you to actively pursue communication with the Holy Spirit. It's not that hard. And it's not sacrilegious. It's not sacrilegious. Do you know the Holy Spirit is as much God as God is God? Do you know that Jesus is as much God as God is God? It's not God 1, God 2, and God 3. This is the lesser God, this is the not lesser God, and this is the big God. It is our God in one. Can you teach this, Sister Carissa? You've had a lot of teaching on the other one, haven't you? Yeah. So pursue. God's not playing hard to get. When you say, I can't hear from God. First thing I'd say is, have you been communicating with God? Have you been fellowshipping with the Lord? Or have you just been begging God, Lord, I need a new car. I need a new job. I need a new, I want a baby. I want a, da, da, da. You know, that's not communicating. That's petitioning. That's asking. Fellowship. If you and I were to get together and go to dinner and all you said was, well, Pastor, I want this, and I'd like to have this, and Lord, would you help me get this, and would you sign for me to get this, and would you take me to the bank and do this? I would think, that's not fellowship. That's a bunch of asking. Right? But if we sit down and you said, Pastor, what are you going to order today? What do you like? What's your favorite food? Let's get to know you a little better. That's fellowshipping. Is this boring? Please tell me. Please tell me. Because I will fast forward this real quick. God hasn't spoke to me in years. Well, God's not playing hard to get. In fact, I promise you, he is more anxious to talk with you and fellowship with you than you are to fellowship with him. He's never too busy. They taught Thursday night to the young kids how that the prophets of Baal were worshiping Baal on Mount Carmel, and they said, put some wood on the on the altar and call upon Baal and see if Baal lights the fire, and of course they didn't, and Elijah started making fun of them and saying, well, you know, he's probably on vacation, or maybe I think the NLT says he's sitting on the toilet, you know, it just says, you know, that God's too busy to answer your prayer. That's because there's no such thing as a God, a false God. There's no such thing as a Baal. Our God is not too busy to answer you, to fellowship with you, to hang out with you. Amen. We're the ones that's too busy to hang out with him. I would encourage you, on your way to work sometime, turn your social media off. Turn that radio off. And just talk to the Lord, just like you were talking to your spouse. Lord, I didn't come. Yeah, and listen, Lord, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just come to fellowship with you today. Anything you want to say, I'm all ears. But I just come to worship you and tell you I love you. You try that for 1 hour on the way to work, and you'll find yourself hearing from the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the way it works. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Go, Blake, go. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Question. What? Know you not that your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Don't you know? You ought to know by now that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. God in us. Listen, God's not only for us. God's not only with us, but God is in us. everywhere I go. I'll tell you what, that'll keep you out of a lot of fear. Some people look at us sometimes and say, how in the world can you go to that dark continent of Africa and you go one way, Pastor, and Sister Pastor goes another way, and you guys don't even see each other. You're in different cars going to different parts of the nation. And how in the world is it that there's no fear? Because God is in me. I don't have to fear. You would eliminate a lot of fear if you just remind yourself who's living on the inside of you. Your body is the temple, and he lives in you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody? Let me just back up. A few years ago, Tiff and Lou built a new house. And I hope they never do it again, because they had to live with us for 3 months while they built their new house. No, I'm just teasing. It went by real quick. It was good. Y'all ever have your adult kids live with you?
Oh, yeah.
Was it that day of rejoicing when they left? How would Tiff and Lou feel if they were in our house for 3 months and we never talked to them? We never fellowship with them. We never invite them up for a meal. Stay in the basement. That's your domain. Don't bother us. We got things to do today. Don't talk to us. We're too busy. How do you think that would make somebody feel that lived in your house for a while? You think they might get their feelings hurt? I told you a few weeks ago that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That's why Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. He lives in us, but I wonder if we grieve him by ignoring him sometimes or not fellowshipping with him. Are y'all getting this morning?
Yeah.
I know it sounds like I'm just going around the same mountain every 30 seconds, but I want it to get down on the inside of us so that we can understand that to have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with the Spirit, and he reveals to us what God is saying, what Jesus is saying. He will tell you what Jesus wants you to do or say or go.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:11. Tiff and Lou would not have felt welcome in our house if we ignored them for those 3 months. How long has it been since you fellowshipped with the third part of the Godhead that lives inside of you? No one knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except what? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. Guess where the Spirit of God lives? I wonder what God thinks about this. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about making a career change or a educational change. Or I'm thinking about that. I wonder what God thinks about this. You know how to find out what God's thoughts are? Spend some time fellowshipping with him. Talk to him. Listen, if that don't work, get in the Bible and read his word, because his word is him. If you want to know what God's saying, read the word. Brother Rhodes, I'm up in the prayer line. I just wonder if you have a word for me today. Yeah, sit down, shut up, and open your Bible and read it. Just read your Bible, because I'm not going to fake something to make me look spiritual and make you feel good. I've come too far for that. Get the Bible and read it. If you need a word, open the word. There's a lot of good words from... Read the red letter edition. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Amen.
Now, we all know who the president is, right? Donald J. Trump. No boos. Donald J. Trump. No yays. Okay, we'll just keep it right here. We all know that Donald J. Trump, we know he is our president. But do we know his inner thoughts? Do we know what he thinks about us? Do we know? Now, we know what he says, right? We hear what he says. Do we know he's a braggart? Well, yeah, he probably is. Do we know that he can say the wrong thing sometimes? Yes, he can say those things. But, you know, we didn't ask God for a pastor. We asked God for a president. So whether you agree, what I want to get across is that we know the name of the president. We know who the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is. But do we know the likes, the dislikes? Do we know the opinions, the thoughts? We probably don't. We probably don't know what Donald Trump is thinking. But I want to tell you something. Who knows the thoughts of God? What's that scripture say? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And I will tag onto that the previous verse, which lives and dwells in you. Verse 12. Still there? Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, thank God, but the Spirit who is from God. How can you clump them all together the same? How can you just say they're all the same? They're three separate ones. It says here the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand, have knowledge of what God has freely given us. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hand if you're getting just a little bit out of this today. Let me see if I'm in the right. Just a little bit. Okay. If you just get a thimbleful, that's fine with me. Let's run with that, okay? No one knows the thoughts of God except His Spirit. And verse 12 said, He has given us His Spirit. That was better than Max's sneeze, wasn't it? Gosh, when Max sneezes, you might as well just, it blows the curtains and everything. Paul never walked physically with Jesus, did he? He wasn't around in Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry. I mean, he may have been around, but he wasn't with Jesus as one of the disciples. But yet when Paul talks about the revelation, I tell you, the Pauline revelations, bury yourself in the Pauline, what's the word I'm looking for? Revelations. Because he had revelation. Guess who it came from? The Holy Spirit. The man that wrote two-thirds or almost two-thirds of the New Testament never had a personal encounter with Jesus as far as walking with him like the disciples did. But yet he had revelation after revelation after revelation, enough to write two-thirds of the Bible. And he said, I never walked with him, I never saw him, I never met him, but I got it by his Spirit. I wonder what spirit that was, Brother Steve. You think that might have been the Holy Spirit? Yes. Why? Because the Spirit is the one that fully reveals Jesus. We read it. He's the one that comes to reveal Jesus to us. John 16:12. Well, this is going over better than I thought it would. I was so excited about my first one, I brought a bottle of oil this morning. Hold that up, babe. Show them that bottle of oil I brought this morning. I brought a whole bottle of olive oil. I was going to drench everybody this morning in oil. Aren't you glad the Lord changed my message? You would have been nervous. Yeah. If you ever see Jennifer run up and it looks like she's running back to the nursery, it's just because she's nervous that we're getting ready to do something. John 16:12-13, Brother Blake. I have much more to say to you, more than you can hear, but we read this a moment ago, but I want to get on down and reemphasize this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what is yet to come. I like that part. I like that, Lou, where it says, he will tell you what's yet to come. He will tell you what's yet to come. In other words, if he doesn't tell you, it might be a surprise, but he's going to tell you what's down the road. Not always. Not always. But if we learn to listen to him, I said this earlier, Luke, if we will learn to listen to him and then obey him, he will increase the communication with us. But if he speaks to us, turn right at this signal light. I've never turned right at that signal light before. I feel it. I just feel it. Something says, turn right at this signal light. No, that's just my head. I think I'll just keep on going. You know, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you and you ignore him, that's like slapping him in the face and saying, well, I don't care what you have to say. I'm going my way. I don't know why. I don't know why I felt that urge to turn right. Now, please don't take this message off into the ditch, okay? Because this is what some people do. They hear a message like this, and instead of keeping it down the M-O-R, they go to the left, they go to the right, and they make it look bad for all of us. Okay? But I'm telling you, when you feel that prompting on the inside of you, not your gut telling you, I think I'll get Oreo cookies instead of macadamia cookies. That's your gut. That's your belly. That's not the Holy Spirit, because he probably don't care if you eat peanut butter cookies or Oreos, right? But we do have to buy what kind of chips, Rick?
Frito and Lay's.
Lay's. Get Lay's. That's invest in his company. Okay. So Paul could not base his faith or his teachings on any previous physical interactions that he had had with the Lord, because he had never had any. Now, one day he was on the Damascus Road, and there was a blinding light that came down and knocked him to the ground, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I mean, who else could have done that except the Lord, right? But that was his confession of the Lord right there. "Who art thou, Lord?" But he never saw him. In fact, he was struck blind, wasn't he? He was struck blind. Okay, I'm gonna try to wrap this up. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. By the way, remember what Jesus told Thomas. He said, "Blessed are those that have not seen yet believed." Paul had not seen, but yet he believed, and he wrote what the Spirit of God told him to write. Maybe I'll wrap it up with this. Acts 1, 4, and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." Everybody say, the gift.
The gift.
Wait for the gift. How many knows it wasn't a Christmas present wrapped with a red bow? Wait for the gift. Somebody real spiritual, tell me, what do you think that gift was that the Father promised and Jesus was going to give? There you go. The Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Notice Jesus is speaking. He says the Father will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. If they were all three in the same conglomerate, that would be hard to say that, wouldn't it? Okay. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now notice, I preach this on Pentecost Sunday, but Jesus did not suggest that they wait in Jerusalem. He didn't say, "Now, if it's a good idea, why don't you stay in Jerusalem, because I am recommending that." No, the Bible said he commanded them not to depart until the promise came. Why? Because he knew the importance of the impartation of the Holy Spirit and what a difference it was going to make on those 11 disciples. Don't you think, do you remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John, maybe 21, the last chapter maybe, he breathed on them and said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And now he tells them to wait in Jerusalem. Wait for what? Wait for the empowerment. Wait for the gift to come upon you. Let me see if I can find this in my notes somewhere. When he said receive this Holy Spirit, receive means immediately or right now. This was not a foreshadowing of what was going to happen. The disciples actually received the Holy Spirit before Jesus ascended to heaven, but they were not clothed with power. They were not clothed with power until they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why we believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost, endued with power from on high. It's not just a tongue. Thank God for the prayer language of the Spirit. But receiving the Holy Spirit is not just a tongue. Amen. It's a person. Amen. Amen. This is so good. I shared with you earlier that there was like 500 people. Paul said in Corinthians that there was about 500 people saw Jesus before he ascended. And he told them, go to Jerusalem and wait and tarry there. That's the only time he told us to tarry for the Holy Spirit. In my upbringing and Gary in your upbringing, we were taught to tarry. That meant you go down to the altar and you tarry for the Holy Spirit. You ask and you ask and you ask and you ask. And if you don't get it, then there's something you've got to do. You've got to clean something out of your life. You've got to stop this, stop that, and then come back and tarry some more. And if you get all that done, then he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's not what he meant when he said tarry. He said stay in Jerusalem until you be empowered. Stay in Jerusalem. We've been empowered. The Holy Ghost has been sent. He's already been sent on the day of Pentecost. So there was 500 people that appeared before Jesus was ascended. But when he told them to go to the upper room, how many knows there was only 120 that showed up? 380 didn't make the cut. They couldn't stay. They couldn't. Oh, maybe they couldn't wait, Gary. Maybe they were so excited about Jesus that they wanted to go start their own church. We can't wait. We got to get out there and do something now. The world is dying and going to hell. Let's get out there and start our own church. But Jesus said, don't do that. Wait until you're endued with power from on high, and then you will go out. And when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be witnesses in every part of the world after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Acts 2:1-4. Acts 2:1-4, Blakey. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Come on up, worship team. The sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that broke up, separated, and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled, everybody say filled, with what? The Holy Spirit. And what happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on, that's kind of weak. When they were filled, what happened? Can we say it out loud all together? When they were filled, they were? They began to speak in tongues. I know some says other languages, and that's okay. It was tongues that was foreign to them. They didn't understand the other languages. Somehow, the Holy Spirit enabled them. And the reason for this great outpouring was because guess who else was in Jerusalem? People from every known nation. They had come to worship. They were there to celebrate. And there was all kinds of different nationalities. And when these disciples walked out on the street, guess what the first thing they said? These guys must be drunk. You know why they said they thought they were drunk? Because they were probably acting drunk. How do drunk people act? Silly? Stagger? Cry? Talk funny? Some of you ought to remember you were just drunk last night, right? Get that hand down. Drunks, you can tell when somebody staggers out of the ball. And so many times there's happy drunks. Well, anyway, all they heard was all this babbling. They heard babbling. But you know what the other people from the other nations heard? They heard them praising God in their own language. That blows my mind. Gary Doss was in a service one time while he was overseas. He picked up a little Japanese, not a girl, the language. He picked up a little Japanese. And he came back to America, and somebody gave a message in tongues. And he listened, and he said, correct me if I'm wrong, that sounds like Japanese. And he knew what this person speaking in tongues was saying in Japanese. And when somebody gave the translation, it was word for word of what he knew the Japanese language was saying. So when it says they were speaking in, what was the word they had? Other languages. I believe people pray in other languages sometimes. But even if it's not a language, it's an unknown language to us. And it's a language known to God. What the most beautiful thing that the Lord has given us outside of His Son and the blood of Jesus is the gift to be able to pray in a heavenly prayer language. And these people, these foreigners that were gathered in Jerusalem that day, said they heard these uneducated, these nobodies praising God in their languages. Thank God for the Holy Spirit and the prayer language of the Spirit. You know what Romans 8 says? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray the perfect will of God. Now, I'm not preaching this morning on tongues. I mean, I could come back and do that, but I'm just telling you that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're praying in the perfect will of God. It eliminates all the stinking thinking of our flesh. Amen? Why wouldn't we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why wouldn't we want more of God? Why wouldn't we want the gift that He's given us? I was going to bring a box if I was going to preach this sometime. I was going to bring a big box that was a gift-wrapped box. I was going to open that gift box and I was going to pull out a whistle and blow it, because how many knows Jesus can warn us and tell us what to stay away from and don't go there and don't do that. He can flash the yellow light. Listen, don't ignore the flashing yellow lights. Amen. He's trying to save your life. Don't ignore the still small voice. I was going to bring out a compass, because He leads us and He guides us in the way we should go. Everything that he was the teacher, I was going to bring the ruler, and He's the teacher of the church. And then the last thing I was going to bring out was a great big old blanket, the comforter. He's our comforter. Just wrap it around us. He's our comforter. Can you say amen this morning? He's our comforter. Why would we not want Him? Why would we resist Him? Why would we be nervous or afraid of Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just about ready to let you go home. Father, I've done the best I know how to do, and I thank You, Holy Spirit, for helping me. To some, this was a fresh new word. To others, it was a reminder. But I thank You this morning, Lord, for speaking through us and to us today the importance of relationship and communion with the Holy Spirit. We're not exalting the Holy Spirit above God. We're not exalting the Holy Spirit above Jesus, for we know that they are equal. All three were involved in the creation of this world. I thank You, Father, that our knowledge of the Holy Spirit has increased today. And God, I know that knowledge eliminates fear. Knowledge will cast down fear of the unknown, because now we know. And I want to say thank You, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Ghost that was given on the day of Pentecost. You're still pouring out Your Spirit upon all flesh. People around the world, Argentina, Brazil, South America, nations of the world are being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire that have been so steeped in religion. God, we saw a video from Calm just this last week where a Buddhist was so upset with Calm and Nini that she cussed them out. But they got to baptize her just a few days ago because she gave her heart to Jesus. God, we know there's a renewing of the Spirit. There's a renewal going on around the world. College students, university students, getting hungry for the Spirit of the living God. Father, I pray for Solid Rock this morning, that you would stir up a hunger on the inside of us. Such a hunger for more of the Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. Would you breathe upon us, Holy Spirit, today? Would you breathe upon us? Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost fire. Would you burn in us today, Lord? As they sing this song, I want you just to close your eyes. I want you just to pray to the Lord. Fill me today with your Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of that gift. I'm not afraid I'm going to open a gift and it's going to be full of copperheads. It's a gift from the Lord. Would you just pray in your own way right now as they sing this song? Fill me, Lord.
Breathe on me.
Fill me, Lord.
Breathe on me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Holy Ghost.
I want to know you better, Holy Spirit.
Breathe on me.
I want more fellowship with you, Holy Spirit.
Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power.
Breathe on us.
Breathe on.
Breathe
me.
On us, Holy Ghost power.
Breathe on me.
Breathe on this church, Solid Rock.
Breathe on
this
me.
Church. Let Solid Rock be filled.
Holy Ghost power.
Oozing out of the walls.
Breathe on
into
me.
The streets and the highways and byways.
Yesterday's gone.
Others will know.
Today
surely the Lord is living in us. Holy Ghost power.